Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird but helpful.
Just like it's helpful.
Us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help, maybe.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good happiness, man.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even both. Hey, welcome to our podcast. Dogs are smarter than poo-poo.
Is that how you say people now?
Yeah, people are poo-poo.
Oh, people are poo-poo.
People are poo-poo.
Except for the three people that listen to this podcast.
All three of you are superior.
That's right.
Always.
Always.
Always. And you can pick what way you would like to be a superior. But we're just going to say in always.
I agree.
You know, a lot of people spell all right with one word, but it's actually kind of supposed to. I mean, the rule's not hard and fast, but it's supposed to be two words.
All A-L-L?
Yep, and then the second word.
R-I-G-H-T?
Yeah.
Well, how about A apostrophe R-I-G-H-T?
Well, that's what you're doing. And I don't even know what kind of accent that is.
I think it's more of a southern thing. Like y'all.
Y'all
listen up,
I don't know, man. It sounds like a pirate to me.
Well, you know.
You're a southern pirate.
That's right.
Speaking of southern randomness, like Sean.
Arg,
is that some sweet tea? I can't do it. I'm so sorry. That was so bad. It was so bad.
That was bad.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to lie. Sometimes the painful truth is better than a lie.
Yeah, that was painful. All right.
Some sweet tea.
Sweet tea.
I can't even pretend to say what you just said.
All right, anyways.
Like, I don't think my brain and voice will let me do it.
Moving on. Let's get our NPR voices and be very serious and say, in our random thought today, 2 seconds ago, I found a clicky news clicker clicky thing.
You mean you clicked on some?
It was clickbait for me.
Oh, it was?
Yes. Oh. And the headline is, a Kentucky family gets an early gift of baby owl.
In their Christmas tree.
How cool is that?
That's super
but
cool.
But also, how bad is that?
Bad for the owl.
I know, poor little baby owl.
Well, what'd they do with it?
I don't know. So, apparently, according to the AP article, a Kentucky family got a little something something extra when they picked out their Christmas tree this year. A baby owl. So, this woman who lives in Lexington, Kentucky, told their TV station that it's a tradition. Their family always goes and they get a Christmas tree, right?
Yeah.
This year, they said, seemed no different. The tree had been in their house for 4 days.
That's amazing.
And they didn't notice anything unusual. I have three dogs, White said. We use this room nonstop. Watch TV. The kitchen's right here. No indication.
What kind of dogs does she have? She obviously doesn't have cats.
I know. Bobby Hayes, who owns Magic Carpet Cleaning and was at the home while the family was out, first noticed the bird. After plugging in a piece of equipment and seeing those trees start to sway, the owl was literally sitting on a lower limb here, Hayes said. It crawled up into the tree further. It took me several minutes to even find it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So he sent photos to the lady, and she was like, I'm so glad it was him. And then he released it into the backyard of the house.
Oh, it must have been that much of a baby then.
I know, but I hope it's okay.
That's amazing. Four days.
Four days just chilling out in these people's homes.
Not making a peep.
Not eating anything, moving. Apparently.
Yeah.
Do you think it really came in on the tree?
Yeah, probably.
Really? Because yeah. I was like, maybe it didn't. Maybe it, they have a hole or something in their house.
And then the owl was just like, holy shit, there's a tree in this house. And I'm it's so go live warm. In that thing.
It's so cozy. Look at this ornament right here. We got candy canes. Like, did it survive on candy canes, this little baby owl? What did the baby owl eat?
I don't know.
Was it really even a baby owl?
It probably wasn't tiny. And if that's the picture of it, it's not tiny.
Well, he said it went up further into the tree and then he couldn't see it. Like, he had a hard time finding it.
I mean, that's not a huge owl by any means.
That's like this big. That looks like it's like
if you judge by
4 inches, maybe. By the
things, right? But it looks pretty well formed.
I know, but where's his mama and his dada?
Well, they probably weren't in the tree when it got cut down.
I am so worried about baby owl.
Baby owl's fine. No. Yeah, it knows how to.
It's separated from his baby owl family.
I don't think owls go out on group expeditions to teach their babies how to hunt.
They don't?
No, once they leave the nest, they're done, they're gone. Just Mama's like, whew, finally I don't have to go bring food to these little ungrateful turds anymore.
So basically the same as when you grow up poor in New Hampshire.
Yeah, probably.
Me.
But the problem is the baby owls never come back to the nest.
Yeah.
That's where they have the superiority and the advantage.
Unlike me.
Unlike all of us.
Alright, so, here we go. You ready?
Well, you just shushed me, so I'm waiting for permission to be able to talk again.
You were just talking.
I said I.
A lot. And then he was doing things with his tongue.
So, with his tongue.
So making fun of
I like the way you made the last part of the word tongue vibrate.
Like, it was like that. He was licking his glass. That's what he was doing. It was a lot of tongue. Oh, get it in your mouth. Get that in your mouth, young man.
I took a sip of my fine whiskey that you bought me. And there was a drop on the outside of the glass, and I didn't want the listeners to be able to hear the noise of that drop rolling down the side of the glass.
He always has an excuse.
I have a reason.
Excuse.
Anyway. What are we talking about today,
Myla? So tonight we're talking about how to dig deeper into your scenes. So a lot of times a writer will get a feedback and it'll say something vaguish like, dig deeper. And then the author, is that naughty?
No, I thought it was like Vegas-ish when I first saw it. I was kind of reading ahead. So.
Don't read ahead. You're supposed to listen to me when I talk.
I always listen to you when you're talking.
No, you don't, because you don't. It's so.
I do.
It's part of being married. All right. So then the author, after they hear that, like they cry or they get angry or they feel an emotion that no author wants to feel because it's vague advice, right? But what it really means, and you know, when you get advice, you want it to be something actionable in a way that you understand, right?
Yeah.
But basically what this is saying is either one, you have no setting in your scene or your chapter or your story, or two,
your character doesn't react to things and then act on things.
Which is a really big deal. Or three,
when your character does act and react to things, it doesn't seem to be who the character is. So it's out of character for the character. Like, you can't have your introverted hamster making a flash mob dancing disco through the streets unless there's a lot of motivation.
That's right. Or four,
there are no stakes going on.
Right. So a way to fix this is to realize, A, that it's happening. And a good way to, like, do this is to look at the first part of each scene and write, one, what you want the reader to feel.
Two, what you want your character to feel.
Three, what the antagonist would think about this scene.
Four, what senses are happening in the scene.
And five, you can say it, bae.
Look for words that distance the reader from happening. Examples, see, looked, smelled, felt, noticed are a good start.
Right.
Like, but the list is endless.
Kind of like my misery. So here's the thing, right? And this works for life, too. Maybe you're not feeling super... Why did you just rip off a Band-Aid in the middle of the podcast?
Because it was bothering me.
Babe, it made it so much noise. With it made so much noise.
Cheap-ass Band-Aids.
That's disgusting. For sure, licking the whiskey glass. Now you're ripping off scabs.
The Band-Aid did that.
I swear to God, he's not 12.
And half of my arm hair.
A 12-year-old, he has.
But I didn't screech. Anyways.
So, my point here is that this works for life, too. Maybe you're not feeling super fulfilled and you need a little boost because your husband is being gross. Think about those questions about you, yourself, and your choices. What do you want to feel? What do you want the people around you to feel? Like, what does your arch nemesis think about what you're doing right now? Maybe your seventh grade English teacher. How does he think about your choices? Does your success make him feel bad? Yes, yes, it does.
And then you have to figure out how you're going to get there.
Right? Like
in
you,
your writing.
There you go. No. In your life, we're talking about how to make
this life. Oh, this is real life.
Look at him. He tried to wrap up, and then he wrapped up wrong.
Hey.
You don't even care.
You know.
How are our listeners going to care?
My point was that if you can do this in real life, you can transition it to your writing and your characters.
And if you can do it in your writing, you can do it back that way, right?
I hope so.
God, I don't know if we're going to make it through this.
Through what?
Marriage.
Oh, hell, whatever. We made it this far. We can make it a couple more months.
Oh my god.
Dog tip for life. Look at that pretty little dog.
So in our notes for our podcast on livinghappy.com,
yeah,
or livinghappysubstack.com or carriagesbooks.com blog. Oh my god, I don't know our links.
What do you mean?
We've been doing this too long, man. We have too many links. I don't.
Well, we do have a lot of links.
I'm like, yeah, man.
Maybe we can need to consolidate our links.
We need to consolidate something. Anyways, our dog tip for life, right?
Yeah.
It's an adorable picture Shawnee's talking about.
Right? Of our dog, Pogi.
Playing with her little Rudolph from a bark box. We have no BarkBox sponsorship, but damn it, we should. And her point is...
I'll tell you what, I think they pulled bait and switch because that first BarkBox was damn good.
It was damn good.
Man, but I can't imagine they do that every month.
I don't know.
Anyways.
So what did Pogi say?
Pogi says, as he chewed on Rudolph's head...
Her eel. It's Rudolph's little eel.
Go after the life you want, even if it's a reindeer.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, man. I don't know what that means.
What's reindeer taste like?
I would never eat a reindeer.
Do you think so?
That's like eating a manatee.
Like if you kill the reindeer, do you think something bad will happen to the rest of your existing Christmases?
I think something bad will happen forever.
To the person that did it, yeah. Like they might literally get. God, you got some sexy legs. Girl.
Focus. Focus.
I am focused now. Oh my
God. All right. This is why you're. This is why I'm the financial, like, responsible one. Because I get my work done and I focus. And you're just like, oh, shiny.
Pretty much.
Oh, shiny again.
But I said sexy.
I know, but I can't say that word.
You can't.
Yeah.
You say it once in a while.
Not very often. So go after.
Get the life you want, gosh dang it.
Yeah. Don't eat the reindeer. Unless it's a stuffed reindeer from a bark box and you're a puppy. Don't eat the owl in the Christmas tree.
Unless it's
no
stuffy.
No. Yeah, Pogi would probably eat that too. But you want to like figure out how you want to feel and then you want to go after that.
That's right.
And Sean is very good at that.
Oh, I'm always going after how I want to feel.
And I am very bad. The end. Yay.
Yeah, you, baby.
Happy writing.
All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do, you know?
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef. I broke for free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new
amazing creepy podcast is Dude No. It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast.
Loving the Strange.
Which we stream live.
On Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. The end. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah, we can't take much more.